Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 1 down through verse 11. Our subject today, why did the Lord Jesus die? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our subject today, why did the Lord Jesus Christ die? Today we shall look at the doctrine of the death of Christ. Many today have failed to see the true purpose of the death of Christ because they have never really taken the time to examine it closely. Many think that Christ merely died a martyr's death, or a death because of his beliefs, which is not so. Some think that Christ did not die, but merely swooned in the grave, but that also is not so. Today we shall examine the death of Christ and see why it is so important a doctrine for us to believe. First of all, I want to tell you right now that without believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. No individual who's ever been truly converted denies the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at our lesson today, we shall see, first of all, the imperativeness of the death of Christ. We find that Christ died because of the covenant of grace made in eternity. Now, this covenant, the covenant of grace made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we find it has three different names given to it in the Scripture. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 5, it is called the covenant of life. It is called the covenant of peace. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21, it is also called the covenant of grace, or the everlasting covenant. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ died because of an agreement. This agreement was made by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It was agreed and determined that the Lord Jesus Christ was to die. This was consented to by the Lord Jesus, as he says for us very clearly in Psalm chapter 40 and verses 6 through 8. And so we invite your attention to that portion of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 40 and verses 6 through 8, where the Word of God says these words, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Here we find the consenting of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to that covenant whereby he was to die the death of the just for the unjust. Then we find also that there are component parts of the covenant. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ was not only to die, but we find the component parts of the covenant is this. There was the charge of God's chosen ones, and we find that the Lord Jesus was to lose nothing. Again, I invite your attention to John chapter 6, and you look with me at verse 39. In verse 37, we so many times have this quoted to us, but it's hardly ever quoted in its entirety. And so I'm going to read John chapter 6 and verse 37 down through verse 39, so you will see one of the component parts of the covenant. Christ not only consented to die because of this covenant, the covenant of grace, but Christ also consented and agreed to take charge of God's chosen ones, and therefore he was to lose nothing. In John chapter 6 and verse 37 through 39, we read, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Then turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 17, and we find in verse 2 down through verse 4 and verse 24, again, these words, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Then, in verse 24, we read again, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Here we see the imperativeness of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was consented to by our Lord, and in so dying, our Lord was to take charge of God's chosen ones, and he was to lose nothing. And my friend, let me say again, this knocks in the head, if I may use that term. It just dissipates the balloon theory that the Lord Jesus died to make salvation possible. My Lord did not die to make salvation possible. When he died, he guaranteed the salvation of all of God's chosen ones that had been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took charge of them, and we find that he will lose none of them. So not one of the chosen ones of God are ever going to be eternally lost. Now, our Lord not only took charge of God's chosen ones, but then he died and resurrected again for the salvation of God's elect. Now, many of you jump up and down, and you don't understand the term God's elect. Well, I urge you, my friend, you listen to the Word of God, or I should say you read the Word of God, and you'll find out that the election of God is set forth from Genesis to Revelation. And it's imperative that you know that God has a chosen people, and he has fixed a number, and that number that God has chosen to be saved is irrevocable, it is immutable, it cannot be added to or dissipated from. And we find that when our Lord died, he died and resurrected again for the salvation of God's elect. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, he brings this out himself very clearly where our Lord says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Here you see the imperativeness of the death of Christ. He took charge of God's chosen ones. He died and was resurrected again for the salvation of God's elect. And we find that our Lord became the covenant head of the elect of God. Now, the second reason that our Lord died was this. It was because of the love, grace, and mercy of God. Now, what we people fail to understand is this, that God's love is everlasting, it is free, and it is unmerited. We see very clearly, John 3:16 brings this out, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read again, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Therefore, God's love is everlasting, it is free, and it is unmerited. Do you know why we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, my friend. In 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10, the Scripture brings it out very clearly as to the reason why we love Christ. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, my friend, today, here is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died because of the covenant of grace made in eternity. He died also because of the love, grace, and mercy of the Lord God of heaven. God's love is everlasting and free. God's grace is the reason that our Lord Jesus died. Again, we find in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, and we just can't get away from this portion of the Word of God. It is so precious and has so many truths in it. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Here you see, God's love is everlasting, free, and unmerited. And God's grace is the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ died. Now, mercy is the basis upon which our Lord saves a sinner. And again, this is brought out in Titus chapter 3. And beginning with verse 5 down through verse 7, the Scripture brings it out very beautifully where it says these words as we read it for your learning. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, the third reason that the Lord died is this: not only because of the love, mercy, and grace of God, and not only because of the covenant of God's grace, but we find the third reason that our Lord died was for the glory of God and the salvation of God's elect. Now, God's justice is glorified in salvation. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we read, "Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Now, my radio friend, I'm going to say this very kindly. God's justice is glorified in salvation. Then, the third reason that Christ died was this: He died for the glory of God and for the salvation of God's elect. And God's elect are to be reconciled unto God. For we find that our Lord was given a number that He was to die for. All people jump up and down and they say the Lord Jesus died for everybody. He didn't die for those people that are already in hell. No, sir, my friend. He didn't die for the devil, and He didn't die for the angels. He died for the elect of God. And it's your business to find out whether or not you are one of the elect of God. And the only way you're ever going to find out is for you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last of all, we find that Christ died that God might be glorified as all and in all. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 33 down through verse 36, the Scripture brings it out where we read, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Now, here are the three reasons why my Lord died. Now, in the light of this, let me ask you a question in this closing moment. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, not do you know about Him, but do you know Him? The greatest thing that can happen to you is for you to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the greatest thing that can take place is for you to be saved. Oh, how wonderful it is that our Lord is still in the business of saving sinners. We just praise the Lord that He's a gracious God, and we just praise the Lord that He can continue to save sinners. And my friend, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to come and save you from your sin. My hope is that in this closing hour, as we've been talking to you for these last few moments, I want to urge this upon you. You think closely now as to what has been set forth before you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die to make salvation possible. No, sir, my friend. He died to guarantee the salvation of God's elect. And you know, the only way you're going to find out if Christ ever died for you is when the Holy Spirit opens your soul and shows you who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under. And you know, my radio friend, oh, listen, it's an awesome day when God begins to deal with your soul, and we find without the death of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the death of Christ, there is no reconciliation with God, because man is at enmity with the Lord. He's engaged against God's perfection. He's at enmity against God's kingship, His priesthood, and His word. And he's at enmity against God by his wicked works. Yet we find that our Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. Now the importunity laid upon you at this hour is for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I hope and my prayer is that something has been said that will cause you to search and to seek the Lord. Because listen, without the Lord God of heaven reaching down and saving you and giving you mercy and giving you His pardon, rest assured of one thing, you cannot be saved. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you don't know what it means to be a sinner, I urge you at this hour, you ask the Lord to open your heart and then to move upon your soul. And my friend, listen, when He does, you'll seek the Lord. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.